everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. We've been doing this for a long time, haven't we? It's All About Food has been broadcast on the Progressive Radio Network for almost 10 years. I can't believe it. Can someone really talk about food every week for 10 years? Yes. There's so much to talk about, and there's so much that, unfortunately, many people don't know about what's in their food. And it's been one of my missions to help get that word out. And at the same time, when people realize they shouldn't be eating what they're eating, that's been promoted and marketed, and then they wonder what to eat, and they get scared, actually. One of the things we try and do is make that easier and make it delicious. I've got some recipes I want to talk about later and how we do that. But I'm very excited because I have two guests who've been on the program before, and I just want to get right to that and to them. I have Kip Anderson and Keegan Kuhn, and they're going to be talking about their latest What the Health edition. So, guys, how are you today?
Doing great. Thank you for having us. Hello? Hello?
I think Karen got cut out or her mic is on mute.
Can't hear anything.
Sorry. Well, while they figure out the...
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. No, the mute button just mysteriously turned on. I'm sorry about that.
No worries.
I'm here. Don't go anywhere. Okay, let's start over. Kip, can you say hello so I know that you're you?
Yes, this is Kip here. Thanks for having us on.
Okay, and Keegan.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us on.
Okay, very good. The first thing I wanted to say to both of you is thank you, because you have done tremendous work. Let's just talk about your two documentaries for a minute. Cowspiracy, the sustainable... I can't even say it. Cowspiracy, the sustainability secret, and What the Health are two films that we needed for a very long time. I can't tell you, I've been vegan for 30 years and vegetarian for longer, and many people were saying we need something that focuses on the environment and connects with food, and you did it. And then you came out again with What the Health, which really made a huge statement, and a lot of people saw it, and I really believe that you are changing the world in a huge way. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Kind words. Very nice of you.
Yeah, well, I mean, there have been other films that have come out. There have been other books that have been written. And in your films, you acknowledge some of the work that other people have come before you. But it really took you two to put it together in a way that was appealing to a much bigger audience. And the time is so ready for this message. So I want to ask you, and maybe ask you to kind of, the word that's coming to me is gloat, but that's not what I mean. I want to know what some of the reactions have been from celebrities and from names we recognize about your film and how it's changed their lives.
Well, What the Health, it really almost kind of basically came like celebrity viral, it seems. Like one after another, you started seeing these tweets. There's someone who compiled all them together. And it was really cool because it spilled into the athletes. And then like the NBA, it was Kyrie Irving saw the film. He went vegan. Had it was his best year he had his whole life was last year. Then the Tennessee Titans, one of the defensive linebackers on there, went vegan. His wife already is. And, that was a really fun aspect of the film, getting out there to know that not only can you survive, but you can thrive and be a better athlete than ever. And that's really cool to see.
The thing about your work getting in front of celebrities, and it's not something that I feel gives it credibility to myself. I base a lot of the things that I learn on science and all kinds of facts, but the power of getting your work in front of celebrities is that they have many followers and they share, and it's a great marketing tool, and almost it's a free marketing tool for you when people who are in certain positions can help promote your work. And that's that viral effect. And we've been waiting for that. So I applaud you for making that happen.
Well, you know, the community made it happen, really. It's so many people have supported and promoted our films, and that's what has gotten it in front of, you know, the change makers and the influencers, like, you know, the athletes and the musicians and the actors and actresses that have, again, used their platforms to promote even further. So it's a definitely community effort for sure.
The thing is, this information is so powerful and so necessary, and eating a healthy, whole food, plant-based, vegan diet, all the science is there, and yet it's so hard to get the information out, and our planet is in a dire situation, and you and I know that if everybody changed the way they eat and ate plants, things would be almost miraculously improved. And then I don't even want to talk about the cruelty to animals. I'm going to save that for the second part of the show. But we've needed this. Now, I know that you've had critics as well. And I know that you've had critics from the vegan community, too. And I wonder what that's been like. I have an expression that I've heard, read your press. No, don't read your press, weigh it. And it doesn't hold a lot of weight, pun intended, in the social media world because nothing's on paper anymore. But I think I make the point, when you've made a big splash, you're going to have people that are on your side and are not on your side.
Yeah,
the critics?
When we were doing What the Health, we knew there was going to be some pushback for sure because of the pushback we received with Cowspiracy. It was a little shocking to see, you know, some people in the vegan world come after the film in a negative approach. But really, when you look at a lot of the arguments that they used, it sounded really personal, that they felt insulted that they weren't included in the film. And so a lot of the criticism that had came from the vegan world were people who I think felt that they were left out, because our science is solid. I mean, we have, you know, 10 MDs who reviewed the film to make sure that our science was backed up. We had analysts to be able to look at our film, and we had source material for every single stat mentioned or referenced in the film on our website, whatthehealthfilm.com. So you can see the original data where the information we're pulling from. You can source the original studies where that came from. So the pushback, again, that came really more than anything seemed like it came from a place of ego rather than the science, because the science is really strong.
I agree with you, and I'm glad you said it, because if you hadn't said it, I was going to say it, because I know some of those folks, and I've heard similar criticism with other powerful pieces over decades, and unfortunately, I think it's because of jealousy.
Yeah.
So the vegan movement isn't perfect.
No. But we're definitely trying, you know, and I'm thankful for the criticism, though, because it does push us all to be that much more diligent, making sure that we always present the best information, the most scientific, most factual information, because it makes our argument that much stronger. And so, you know, even that within the community, pushing each other and making sure that we're always on our toes is good, and I encourage it.
That's true of so many things. I know women, for example, in the professional world, I know when I started working as an engineer a long time ago, I'm not doing that anymore, but women had to be better because it wasn't normal to be in the industry. President Obama, and we missed you, President Obama, he had to be so much better because people would have crawled all over him if he made one mistake. And yet I don't want to go with the current situation, but it's quite a different scenario. And it's the same in the vegan community. decades ago, we didn't have all the science, and the science wasn't easily accessible, and now it's there. All right, so my next question is, when I went to read the book, What the Health, I realized I had already read it, and then I realized this is a second edition. So let me. Yeah. So tell me about the second edition and how it's different from the first.
Well, what's cool about the second edition is we have a bunch of recipes in there, for one. So a bunch of really delicious recipes that the before were spread up in two different books. That's one. And other than that, we had a few more studies in there. We had, you know, who wrote the book is Yuni Tuong. She did a phenomenal job, helped us out with that. And just a little bit more updated information, but it's basically the same book. But with the first book, we didn't really promote it that much, too. So we wanted to, with this one, promote it a little more, add some recipes, and just put it all in one nice, compact, awesome, awesome book, and learn so much more information that we just could not put in the film, because you can only put so much in a 90-minute film. And so that's the really cool thing about this book, is you get really more in-depth into more of the studies and the facts that you see in the film.
I want to just put a shout out for Eunice Wong. I did have her on the program to talk about the first book, and I know her personally. Right. I've seen her work on stage. And
She's great.
And when I read it the first time, I thought to myself, okay, people got all of this powerful information, but the how really isn't there. And so I applaud you for adding the recipes to the second edition, because that will really help.
Yeah, that's a great book. It really is. I mean, we had Cowspiracy. We have the book's called Sustainability Secret. And we really enjoyed that one, but I was really blown away with What the Health, where it was like a page-turner with this whole storyline, but then learning all these facts that you just don't see everywhere, and it's really unlike any other health book that's ever been written, really. I mean, it's phenomenal.
So if people haven't seen the film, it streams on Netflix and a variety of other places on your website, too, I believe. Mm-hmm. What the Health.
Yes.
And everyone should watch it, period. Might be a fun thing to cozy up to over the holidays. And then when you're thinking about the film and you want to know more about it, the book really comes in handy, because all the references are there. If you're like, I don't believe that. I don't believe they inject salt into chicken to make more plump or whatever. It's all in the book.
Yep. And it kind of holds your hand a little bit, too, to that transition. It's a great book for people who are interested in transitioning to a plant-based diet because of all the recipes. And the recipes were done by registered dietitian Carly Slauson, and beautiful photographs on top of it. But it's also for somebody who's longtime vegan, who's looking for more helpful, coming from maybe a more junk food, fast food style vegan diet to a more plant-based, holistic diet. It's another great resource as well because of those recipes.
So who created the recipes?
The recipes were created by Carly Slauson, who's a vegan registered dietitian based in San Diego. Really talented writer, but also has the background of science to be able to back up that these are actually healthful meals. So it's meals, but it also can be really kind of utilized more as a meal plan even.
All right, let's get back to the storyline in the book, What the Health. And as you mentioned, it really is a page-turner. The film keeps you going, and the book as well. And there's just so much unbelievable information in it. I've been talking about food, like I said, when I opened the show on this program for 10 years. And I'm still, my jaw drops when I think about what goes on in industry to get food to people's plates. There were so many things in the book, but what was like the most surprising to you, or the worst thing that you learned about? There's so many, right?
Yeah. I'm happy to jump in there. Or go ahead, Kit.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. I'm thinking of
The thing that was most disturbing to me was the amount of pesticides, and in particular the dioxins that end up in animal-based foods. We're aware of this idea that pesticides accumulate in our flesh, and you know, increased rates of cancer and so on. But the fact that those increase exponentially in animals' flesh because they're eating so much more food, and then we're consuming their bodies, or even worse, we're consuming their lactation. That was really shocking to me. And that, you know, 96% of our exposure to dioxins, the most toxic substance known to science, 96% of our exposure comes through consuming meat, dairy, and eggs, and fish included. So that was really shocking. And then the impact that it had on developing babies and, you know, the most vulnerable in our society. And that's something I really want to get more information out there about.
It's interesting you brought that up, because that really popped out to me when I was rereading this book, and for some personal reason. So I had advanced ovarian cancer in 2006, and I was a long-term vegan. And it's like, what? How can I get something like this? Well, you know, we all live in a toxic world. And I realized that I had used a lot of tampons as a young woman, which are loaded with dioxin. So I knew I got a big dose there. But then when I was reading in the book, I realized I got extra dioxin in the dairy that I was consuming until 30. And I also went to school near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And you talked about how the dairy coming from that region was extra loaded with dioxin. And I was like putting all these dioxin pieces together for myself. It's really a nightmare.
It is. Yeah. It's something that's really not discussed when it comes to health. And one of the largest trash incinerators is in Harris, Pennsylvania. And, yeah, so all that fallout that comes out of these trash incinerators ends up on the grass. The cows eat that grass, or ends up on the grains that are fed to the cows. And then that is embodied because it's a fat-binding toxin. And it binds to the fat cells in their body, but then it's even more concentrated in their milk. And so, yeah, by consuming that, we're just overloading ourselves with this extremely toxic, you know, toxin. And the best thing we can do to prevent our exposure to it, you know, because we can't breathe filtered air all the time, and we, you know, try our best with buying healthy vegetables, but really the best prevention of, you know, ingesting dioxins is to avoid animal products altogether.
Avoid animal products altogether. The other chapter that really got to me was the one about chicken. What the pluck?
Yeah, chicken's gnarly. Chicken's really gross.
Chicken is really gross. Can you highlight some of the things just to give people a taste?
Well, you mentioned what's in the book. All the salt that's injected. That was actually, I didn't know that. All the salt that's injected into chicken. But then all the antibiotics, and then if you've ever seen anything that they're grown in, even if it's free range, it's completely a lie. You know, they're pumped so much full of so much antibiotics, and the fact that if you ever see someone say that that's clean meat or in any regard that's the healthy meat, it's just like, oh, please go to a chicken farm before you say that, because it's just horrid, horrible. Not good stuff.
Well, the fecal contamination is what is just the grossest thing.
I was actually going to say that when Keegan was mentioning that, the one that popped in my mind. I remember seeing that stat somewhere, but it hit when we were doing our research. The fecal contamination, not only in chicken, but for all animals, it just never really hit me. Yeah, in a slaughtering machine, it's not like they separate the, you know, digestive tract intestines from everything else, and so it all just kind of combines into everything, and that's disgusting. And also too, the other thing that really grossed me out, which I didn't really know, is the pus and the tumors that they have to pop. And we had just a real quick visual of that, of the pig that was going right before slaughter or was slaughtered, and they just pop it and then move on. I mean, you know, and the amount of tumors and all the disease that they have, people are, it's just like so disgusting.
Yes. All right. So I imagine there have been like a gazillion testimonials for people who have read the book and seen the film. You have a few?
Well, I mean, they're kind of the ones that are highlighted in the film are pretty amazing. The cool story about that is we thought, when we were going to do these case studies, we thought that we were going to follow them for about three to 4 months, and that was going to delay us getting the film out, but we just felt it was really important. And then that really happened rather than 3 to 4 months. It was happening with 3 to 4 weeks. And that's something that we were just blown away by. My dad actually just a few months ago, he's like, yeah, I really like the film, but, you know, you shouldn't have really put those case studies in there because, you know, there's no way those are true. Like, he still doesn't think they're real.
Oh, no.
But it's just crazy of just, you know, how fast you can turn your health around. You know, these people have been sick for over a decade, some of them 20 years. And within weeks, you know, their health just drastically improved. Disease are reversing. It was miraculous. So we've gotten a lot of awesome emails similar to those stories. But, you know, those stories are par for the course when you're following a whole food, plant-based, low oil, low sugar, or no oil, no sugar, to have that extreme of turnaround.
And I'm sorry your dad doesn't believe this great work that you've been doing, but sometimes our family is the most difficult to convince. Have you gotten any new ideas since his response to the film on what to do next?
I mean, if you're not convinced by that and then seeing the stories, it's tough that you're ever going to. With that being said, he's eating, him and his, my stepmom, they're eating really, really well. They're about actually 85-90% vegan now. So, you know, he said that, it's still made a huge impact on him, and they're doing well. So that's good.
That is very good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, so my next question is, what's next for both of you?
Well, Keegan just had an awesome film come out. Tell him about that, Keegan.
Yeah, so I just had released a film last month called Running for Good, and it's a feature-length sports documentary about four-time world record vegan marathon runner Fiona Oaks, who's the fastest woman in the world to run a marathon on every continent and the North Pole. She does all of that despite the fact that she was told when she was 15 years old that she would never walk properly and definitely never run after going through 17 radical knee surgeries. She's gone on to do all these world records, but she does all that to raise awareness about the plight of animals. She runs a sanctuary where she takes care of 450 animals every single day and runs 100 miles a week. And so the film is about her. It's about her incredible journey in overcoming this adversity, but it also follows her running Marathon of Sahel, which is considered the toughest foot race on Earth. It's a 156-mile race through the Sahara Desert, self-sufficient. So it's a beautiful, more intimate, not a... You know, Cal and What the Health were very information-dense films and had a lot packed into them. Running for Good is a much more personal, just a different sort of feel to a film, but again, touches a different audience that maybe wouldn't have been drawn to Cal or What the Health.
And that's been released already?
Yeah, that's available on Amazon, Google, iTunes, Vimeo. You can see that on our website at runningforgoodfilm.com.
Excellent. Okay, well, everybody cue that one up. It sounds really wonderful and inspiring.
Thanks.
And Kip, what about you?
Working on several films. The goal is to come out in 2019, probably around a year from now. And one of them, I guess, is kind of announced. One of them's working with these awesome filmmakers out of the UK, and that's called Seaspiracy, and that's all on the oceans. We have a good section in Cowspiracy on the oceans, but this is a full feature, all in the oceans, and all that people don't know, as they say, when the oceans die, we die, and people just have no idea of how important the ocean is to the survival on our planet, say the least. So that's exciting film that will be coming out in probably a little less than a year. And then another film that to be shared later. We're not really. It's kind of under wraps of the other film and a couple other projects, too. So a lot going on.
Okay, great. I can't wait for Seaspiracy. The ocean is like our final frontier, and it's such a mystery to so many of us. And the stories that I've heard about fish, not even the mammals that live in the ocean, but the fish that live in the ocean and their intelligence and their communities, their families, their jobs, the way they interact, the way they strategize, it is mind-blowing. And why shouldn't they? It's just we've had this closed-minded feeling about humanity that nobody or no other species can do what we do. And in some ways, that's true. No other species seems to be as destructive as humanity. on this planet. But I'm looking forward to that one. Very good. Yes. Okay, well, what one more thing can you share with us about What the Health before I let you go? Anything that you want to highlight?
The story arc of What the Health, our goal is, one of the most shocking things is when we went to North Carolina and, found out all the secondary things that happened to, like, particular pig farming down there. So when you're eating bacon, you see people say, I love bacon. And then you just not realize the health impacts of not only your personal health, but the health of what these products affect other people that you might not see because they're living in another side of the country, another side of the world. But just, true health is global health, not only personal health, but, mental, spiritual, and physical health as well, but then also the health of your community and your whole planet. And so that's just a real important thing. When people say, oh, I'll do what I want to do, I'll eat how I want to eat, is my health, and that's your, well, no, health runs a lot further than just you yourself, it goes globally, along with the animals.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that one.
If people want to read What the Health, get a copy of it. It's available for pre-order right now on Amazon and pretty much anywhere that you would get your books from. The book is published by Ben Bella Books, who's done a number of really phenomenal vegan and plant-based books, and so they were really excited to be working with them as our publisher on this book. And it will be available, on stores right at the beginning of the year, I believe. So
it's actually we just found out we got a shipment in now, so I believe you can actually even order it right now, and we can get it shipped out. We just found out.
Today is the release date, right?
I think it is. Yeah, right? It came a little bit earlier. Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations on that.
Yeah.
Okay, Kip, thank you so and much, Keegan, I'm so glad you're on the planet.
Thank you
for doing the work that you've been doing. And thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for doing what you're doing, too.
Okay. Bye.
Appreciate it. Bye.